Praise the Lord. I want to talk a little bit about generosity here tonight. And we're going to look in the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And we know that in this account here, in the last part of this chapter, that there's great opposition that the church is facing. This new young church is facing tremendous opposition, and the pressure is on. And so what do you do when the pressure is on? Well, they knew what to do. They knew how to pray, and they got together and prayed. Let's read chapter 4, Acts chapter 4, verse 29. "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus." When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. Distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, a lot of things are happening here as response or a reaction to the move of the Spirit in their life. The Spirit of God moved upon them in their time of opposition, when they're struggling after being threatened. But the Spirit of God fell on them and empowered them to do several things. And there was the effect of this wonderful empowerment of the Spirit gave them the boldness to speak when they had been literally told, "Stop speaking in his name. Stop it." But they had new courage and new boldness to speak up for Jesus in the face of persecution and boldness. We are really in a time when there needs to be a newfound courage and a boldness that we have to speak up and declare the name of the Lord. It's almost as if, you know, Christians and the church gets run over by all of the things that are going on in our world and our culture today, and we need Holy Spirit boldness. So that's one of the things that took place as a response to the move of the Spirit or a work of the Holy Spirit. They received boldness, and then in verse 32, the multitude of them believed were of one heart and one soul. There was a unity that came as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit. They all came together. They bound together like they had the same heart and soul. They were united together. Now, whenever there's no work of the Spirit, then everybody is just scattered in their direction, scattered in. And no one's really working cooperatively together. We're just all, you know, scattered, doing our own thing. But the Spirit of God, whenever the work of the Spirit takes place, it binds us together. It unites us together. And we all know we can get so much more accomplished whenever we are united under a common cause. And the work of the Holy Spirit accomplishes that. Amen. Brings us together, people of diversity, different backgrounds, different types of personalities, but the Spirit of God brings us together and we work like one and a united force for the kingdom of God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit that's taking place here. They received boldness to speak in the face of persecution, and now they are a united force that really can't be stopped because they have been united by the work of the Spirit. Verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. Anytime in the book of Acts or in the New Testament, there is this reference to great power, then it's obvious that it is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. That God is at work, and that's what was happening. Great power came upon them, power to declare the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And great grace was upon them. Then you notice something that we don't really often associate with the move of the Spirit. When you think of the work of the Holy Spirit, you think of a lot of things happening, miracles and signs and wonders and a lot of things happening. But this is an amazing thing that takes place in the early church whenever there's this wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. And it is generosity, a spirit of generosity that moves into the church. You know, gifts or giving, those words are repeated again and again. As a matter of fact, over 2,000 times in the scripture, gifts or giving, that word, those terms are used. It is definitely a part of the work of the Spirit. We think of gifts at this time of the year, you're thinking of things like Cyber Monday and Black Friday large percentage of the gifts that are given among family members and friends. It's all done at this time of the year. This is when gifts, everybody's talking about it. And merchandisers definitely are talking about it. They advertise. I mean, they're doing everything they can to catch your attention so that you'll buy their gift and buy their merchandise. But there was a work of the Spirit in the early church that so affected their heart that they became so generous that it was not natural. It was supernatural. It is not a natural thing to do what they did. It had to be supernatural for them to be willing to do, to give, to sacrifice the way that they did. And really, it reveals your heart. If there's anything that reveals what's going on in your heart, it's your attitude toward your possessions and your money and your willingness to give is a revelation of what is going on in your heart. Amen. Amen. Luke 12 and 34, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your heart is always close to your treasure, to the thing that you value. Your heart is right there, always so close. We talked about this verse of scripture Sunday morning from 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, talking about what happens when a person is born again of the Spirit. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. That's the transformation that takes place, or should be taking place, whenever a person comes to the Lord. He is transformed by the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. All things are become new. When you get born again and filled with the Spirit, then there's a heart change. Amen. Your heart has changed. And about everything, all things have become new. Behold, everything is new, including your heart attitude toward money and your possessions. Let me tell you, you know it's a move of God, it's a move of the Spirit, whenever a spirit of generosity starts working and moving in the hearts of people. I believe that a Christian, a person that's born again, he doesn't dread giving. He looks forward to ways that he can give into the kingdom of God. He looks for ways that he can share and he can be a blessing and that he can be generous in his heart. He's looking for an opportunity to give. This great power that fell upon that early church, I mean, they prayed, Lord, deliver us from these that are persecuting us. And they received boldness to speak. They received a unity in the body that was supernatural. They received great power, and they received a spirit of generosity that was unparalleled. It was an incredible thing, and I've been thinking a lot about this because there are ways that we can show the love of God and we can minister to people that are lost even through our generosity and our giving. We can share with people and we can show the love of God to people don't know the Lord, but they can see in you love the Lord, and there's no greater demonstration of the love of God in our hearts than when we're willing to give. You're more like Jesus when you allow him to affect you with this spirit of generosity. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's talk about giving tonight and how much of a blessing it is to the people of God and to the church when we take it on our heart to truly give, because we're not naturally inclined to generosity. The natural response is always to try to protect what we have and to keep what we've got and to save it and protect it, maybe even hoard it away. And when the spirit of generosity affects you, the work of the Holy Spirit that affects your heart, then your possessions are no longer the thing that you treasure. You treasure the Lord, and you want to be like him, because God so loved the world that he gave. And that spirit of God that touches your life will also cause you to want to give. That's not all in money. Sometimes it's in your giving of your time. It's maybe sharing through your talents or just your energy and your willingness to contribute. Some of those that came to help me Monday morning, a couple of those were the young people that have been coming the last few services. The young man that has his hair is blue and the young lady that's with him. And they came to help. And they said to me, we just wanted to contribute. We wanted to have a part in what you're doing. Now, no matter what you say, we know for certain that it's the Spirit of God that causes someone want to be generous. Even if it's just giving of their time and their energy to contribute a little bit to something that's going on and the work of the Lord, that is the work of the Spirit. And who knows how that is going to change their life and how that's going to help them as they're moving in the right direction toward the things of God. Amen. Would you pray for those little young people that God would get so a hold of their heart that they'll surrender their lives completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Lord will change them and cause them. And I believe that it's coming and God is doing a work in them. And I'd praise the Lord for that. And so generosity and the opportunity that God gives us. And sometimes it comes completely in ways that you would never even imagine. We go to restaurants several times a week, three or four times a week probably, and sit down, and a waitress usually serves us at these places. And I've had on my mind the last few weeks or maybe last couple of months that I need to be more considerate of these usually it's, you know, young women most of the time. And most of the time, I don't know their background, but I know that some of them are probably single moms, or if they're not single, they're moms, and they've got big burdens and big responsibilities, And they're trying to do a lot of different things to stay afloat financially. And waitresses they don't even make minimum wage. They depend upon your generosity to give to them. And I've thought about this the last few weeks, that I need to be more generous, because I've always had the mentality when it comes to tips that if they do a good job, they get 15%. If they don't do a good job, they don't get that much. They barely get anything if they don't do a good job. But I'm reconsidering that, because I don't know what's going on in their life. I don't know the things that they're struggling with. And so I'm upping it. And I'm even trying to be more considerate of those that may not be the best at what they're doing. But I recognize most of them know that we're Christians, and some of them know that we're pastors, and some of them, I just believe that it is a part of our testimony, how we are kind to them and considerate of them, and we give to them. We all have opportunities daily and weekly to do something to minister and to show this spirit of generosity. Amen. Now, if you love God, if you love Him above all things, you can be sure that the enemy is always going to want to compete with your affection for God. And the Bible says in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Or really, mammon just means money that's been exalted, or money deified. Money way too important is really what it's talking about. And you can't love God, and you can't serve God and mammon. And we all understand that competing with our affection are the things, physical things, tangible things of this world. And we cannot allow that to control what has a hold of our heart. During this Christmas season, look at your giving as an opportunity for ministry. Look at your generosity as an opportunity to serve someone, to bless someone, or maybe to provoke someone to think about their need for God. Amen. Amen. That's what's happening here. Great power has come upon them. Power to witness. And then it says neither was there any among them that lacked. If there was anyone that didn't have what they needed, they would give, or they would even go extreme. They would sell what they had so that they could meet the need of those that were lacking. This is supernatural. This is giving in a whole different dimension than we even think about. Because we give until we don't, we may think, well, I don't really have any more to give. But how many have given until you don't have anything else to give, until you think, well, if I'm going to give, I'm going to have to sell something so that I can help meet this need. That was in this New Testament church. That level of generosity was, nobody lacked, because if someone had an excess, they went to take care of that area of lacking. And if they didn't have what was needed, they would take some of their possessions. You know how extreme it is here. It says that they sold their lands, their houses, and brought the price of those things that were sold. Wow. You say, oh, that was what was going on in the book of Acts. That was what was going on in the beginning of the church that you and I are a part of, that New Testament church that you and I are still a part of today. Amen. The same things that were going on then ought to be going on right now in us. And this spirit of generosity comes as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we want to share and we want to give and we want to meet needs. And God gives to us opportunities, and we see the opportunity, we need to step through the door. I remember when my wife got a call several years ago from a friend that she had went to school with who worked with an agency here in the community. And she said, "Marcia, do you know of anybody that needs a house?" How many times have you ever asked that question before? Do you know of anybody that needs a house? We've got some funds, and if we don't do something with these funds, we got to have somebody that meets the criteria for these funds. So Marcia got to thinking about it, and they laid out what the criteria was, that certain things that had to be requirements. And my wife said, "Well, we do have a lady in our church that might need something like that. Her name is Darlene Parker." And so that started it. She had no idea. This was just an average day and an average phone call. Not really an average phone call. Pretty remarkable. That started the ball rolling, and it wasn't too long. A few months down the road, and Sister Darlene Parker had a brand new house at no cost to her. Now, that was pretty remarkable. That was really an amazing thing that the Lord did for Sister Darlene. And what's even more amazing, she's gone to heaven, and that's the very home that our Maynard and Amy Parker live in right now. That's now their home. It's pretty amazing what God can do, and that God can work things out and provide supernaturally for people right here in the family of God and the body of Christ. He knows what we have need of, and it's this move of the Spirit. When we think of a move of the Spirit, we're thinking about people getting saved and people being filled with the Spirit and people being healed and all these wonderful demonstrations of the Spirit. But in the book of Acts, something so affected their heart that they were united together and loved one another and gave so generously that it was beyond anything you could ever imagine. They sold their houses. They laid the price of it at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Praise God. Glory to God. And God was moving. God was moving. And God can move that way, supernaturally, through even your giving. And when you give, there's a wonderful principle that the Scripture teaches, that whenever you give, you start something. You begin something. There's a seed that is sown. Now, this is not hyper-faith teaching. This is not extreme teaching. This is just God's word. You sow a seed and you give and you plant the seed, and it's going to come forth. And it's not going to come. Nobody plants a seed expecting to have just one seed come forth. They know that it's going to be multiple things that are going to come forth as a result of that seed that is sown. I believe the Lord wants us to understand that the move of the Spirit will also cause us to be generous. Amen. Amen. Someone said the only antidote to materialism is giving. If that spirit of materialism has gotten a hold of your heart, you know, you don't have to have a lot to be selfish. You don't have to have a whole lot. You can just have just a few things. But if what you have, you are willing to offer it to the Lord. Actually, everything we own, He's given it to us anyway, right? Even our physical strength. Even your heart that's beating in your chest right now. Everything you have is from God. We're all blessed of the Lord because He gives and gives and gives and gives and provides for us. And so we are to catch that same spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ and give generously. And look for opportunities to give. I should have took that offering after this message, brother. Give generously. Give generously. Notice that they were concerned about the advancement of the message of Jesus Christ. They were concerned about all of these. None of these things they were all important. It was all a work of the Spirit of God. But this spirit of generosity so affected them. It says in verse 36, Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. It just means encouragement. Giving is a way to bring encouragement to people. Do you know that your words, even your words can be a gift? Even what you speak can be a gift. If you give words of encouragement. I remember this was, Marsha and I were just, probably the first year we were married, and Brother Huff had come. I don't remember exactly what the circumstance was, but we'd picked him up at an airport in Springfield, Missouri. And we went to a little restaurant, more like a cafe. And it was apparently lunchtime, and the place was slammed. And the little lady that was waiting on us was, you could tell, she was so flustered because she had too many people to take care of. She was slamming things around and moving around trying to get things done. And she got to our table, and Brother Huff just stopped her for a minute and said, "Young lady, I just want you to know, you are doing an amazing job. I with all of this that you've got to deal with, I just want you to know you're really doing a wonderful job." Do you know that she just kept coming back to our table. She just kept coming back trying to serve us and to help us, because that's one, at least at that table, she was going to get a kind word. You know, you can speak words of kindness, words of encouragement. And that's what Barnabas was. He was an encourager. And that was what a gift that he had to offer. But it says that he had sold land. He had land. He sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. He had done that as well. What a wonderful man of God who was willing to bless and encourage the early church by his generosity. He didn't really care about his possessions as much as he cared about the church and the advancement of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Now that is a work of the Spirit. That's a work of the Spirit. When that begins to spread across the congregation and in our hearts, you'll know revival has come. Whatever that Spirit of God affects us to the degree that we just give and we look for ways to give and to bless and to encourage. Amen. It can really make a difference in the lives of people. So just to sum this up here tonight, during the month of December, sure, I know you buy gifts for your loved ones and your family, and that's all well and good. Look for ways to be used of the Spirit, to be used of God, to give intentional gifts to cause people to focus upon their need for God or upon the goodness of God, the grace of God, that they'll recognize it. This has come from the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, if you didn't give an offering to the Family Foundation, you can still do that. I hope you're under conviction now. And or if you just pulled out a dollar and you've got several 20s there in your wallet, I hope you're under conviction now. And that spirit of generosity has gotten a hold of your heart. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit that affects us in every way. Lord, that unites us together, that empowers us to witness in the face of opposition. Lord, for the work of the Holy Spirit that causes us to be encouragers, that causes us to be generous, to give of ourselves and to be a blessing in every possible way that we can be. Thank you, Lord. Use us, Lord, as a body to be a blessing to people during this month of December, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all.